Who is God? How do we know He exists? More than that, why are we here? I want to read today from Genesis chapter 1. Way back. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Then verse 24, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the air and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made. And indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that He had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Does God exist? Why are we here? Two great questions that have occupied the minds of both theologians and philosophers for eons. One of the interesting truths about Scripture is that Scripture does not set out to prove the existence of God. It simply declares the existence of God. In the beginning, before anything was, Scripture says, God was. God created the heavens and the earth. In all of that, I'm reminded of a rather simple truth. If God were small enough to be understood, He would not be big enough to be worshipped. Let me say that again. If God were small enough to be fully understood, He would not be big enough to be worshipped. If your experience with God and the church is such that you think you have all the answers, then my friend, you do not understand the enormity of who God is. The tendency of modern men and women is to make God over in our image, instead of understanding that we are made in His. The creation story that we read about is a story It's not an intricate scientific detail of one step after another. It is a story about God and what God does. The ancient writer does not tell us how God does it, but simply that he does it. For me, the important part of the narrative is that simple phrase, "In the beginning, God." I am not one who sees the Bible in conflict with science. I see instead the two meeting together in the person of God. The Bible is a book that leads us to God. Science and faith are not enemies. I find them instead walking together, leading us into the wonder of the universe and the wonder of God Himself. In seminary, we take classes on apologetics. That's defending our faith. We study the philosophical arguments about the existence of God. If I were to boil it down, for me, one of the great proofs of the existence of God is the wonder of creation. The design of creation cries out that the logical conclusion and the inevitable conclusion is to believe that there must be a designer behind the magnificent design of creation. You cannot look at this marvelous universe and not see the hand of a designer. Did you know there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand on all the beaches on the entire face of this earth? Abraham Lincoln once said, "I never behold the heavens filled with stars, but I don't feel like I'm looking in the face of God. I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up to the heavens and the stars and say there is no God." This universe is a magnificent thing, isn't it? You know how tiny the earth is? We are creatures of this earth, right? And we begin to think that we must be, after all, the center and the end-all and the do-all and the be-all of God's creation. But do you know that this earth is so tiny that it could fit, you could fit 1.3 million Earths into the sun? Now what do you think? No wonder the psalmist cries out in Psalm 8, "O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you're mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them?" When you look at the magnitude of God's creation, 1.3 million Earths fit into the sun, what on earth are we that God should be mindful of us? A speck on a small speck. But there is humanity. And yet, that does not lead to the conclusion that we are insignificant. It leads to the conclusion instead that this magnificent God who creates this magnificent world loves and cares for you and for me. Psalm 19 continues the theme. The heavens. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament displays His handiwork. Day to day, the heavens pour forth speech. Night to night, the heavens declare knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. The witness of creation goes to all the world. Men and women on every corner of this earth can look up to the same sky and see the same moon and the same sun and the same stars. And there is the witness to all of the glory of God. Have you ever seen God? Hang on just a minute. The answer to that question is yes. I hope you see Him every day. I hope you see Him in the beauty of the flowers that may dot your yard. I hope you see Him in the wonder of the animals that visit your yard, that visit mine. I've got some squirrels that I've given some names to. I've got Chuck. Chuck visits every morning at the foot of my bird feeder, sometimes doing gymnastics to jump from a tree on top of the bird feeder. He gets his morning workout. His sister, Charlene, it's a big sister. She joins us sometimes. And Bob has got a little short tail. I suspect one of the birds decided they might have a lunch and just got the end of the tail. That's Bob. And bobtail, there you go. And I've got robins. And this time of year, the woodpeckers have come back, and they like my bird feeder, as do the cardinals. And I hope you see the wonder of God. And I've got ducks on my pond, and I've figured out I've got a pair of binoculars out there because I'm one of those weird geeks. I want to know what kind of duck that is. And so I'll look it up. I see the wonder of God on every hand. I see the wonder of God in the smile of a baby. I see the wonder of God when I get a FaceTime and I get to see Izzy. By the way, in case she needed an Izzy update, she rolled over for the first time. Big news. All of that reminds us that this journey in which we find out more and more about the heart of God is a journey in which we find that God is at the center of it all. In the beginning, God. God. Our universe is a theocentric, God-centered universe. It is not centered and built around us. What is man that you are mindful of him? Everything is built and centered around our God. In the beginning, God. God formed the earth. He created it. He owns it. It belongs to Him. You and I may be actors on the grand stage of life, but let me tell you, God owns the stage. He owns the props. Everything that you see and touch in this world belongs to God. Consequently, Augustine, lots and lots of years ago, one of those old dead guys in my library, Augustine, in his book, The Confessions, said to us, "Great are you, O Lord, and exceedingly worthy of praise. Your power is immense and your wisdom beyond reckoning. You've made us and drawn us to yourself, and our heart is unquiet until it rests in you." You see, here's the reality. Our hearts and our souls are never at rest until we find our rest in God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God created. The crowning achievement of creation is you, humankind. The rhythm of creation went along. God did this and he rested. And God did this and he rested. And God spoke and he rested. And then all of a sudden we come to day six and the rhythm changes. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." I want you to take a moment and look at the person next to you. Go ahead. You may not know them. You can peek a little, sneak a peek at them. Do you know that's what God looked like? Oh! God's bald, overweight. God's got gray hair. God, there in the one next to you is the image of God. The Imago Dei. And because the image of God is in each of us, there the Imago Dei is in us. God is the Creator. We are His creatures. That brings us back to the understanding that our existence on the face of planet Earth is to do one thing and one thing only. To glorify God and enjoy Him now and forever. You say, wait a second, that's two things. No, it's one. Because we cannot glorify God if we do not enjoy God. We come from different faith backgrounds. We've had different faith experiences. You enjoy God? We are in His image, made by Him, owned by Him. We have a God-shaped hole in our lives that can only be filled by faith in Him. And our problem is that we try and fill that hole with everything else imaginable under the sun. We try to fill the hole in our lives with things, with stuff, with jobs, with affirmations, anything and everything but God, and we always come up empty. It only stands to reason that if God made us, we can only find our purpose, our meaning in life, when we find our place in Him. That's why the prophet Jeremiah of old said, "You will seek me," God says through the prophet, "you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." A recent study on human behavior stated that about 12% of a typical day, we are thinking about the future. Now, I suspect here in Northminster, it may be a little bit more than that, because most of us are closer to the end than we are to the beginning, right? Augustine said it beautifully, we are deafened by the clanging chains of our mortality. But here's what I want you to know. Death is not the last word. Jesus will cry, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one that believes in me will live even though they die." The God who made us also designed that in Jesus Christ we are brought back to Him. The image of God in us, so marred by sin that it is sometimes hardly recognizable, that image finds its repair in Jesus Christ. Christ voluntarily paid the penalty for our sins. And when we understand that, we see the beauty and the glory of God. We see a holiness so holy that He had to come and die for us. That's how sinful we are. But I see in that same act a love so loving. And He was glad to do it for you and for me. The image of God, so marred by sin in our day that sometimes it is hardly recognizable, finds its repair in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship, created by God, fashioned by Him. Fashioned by Him to take the glory of God and live it out in our relationships with each other. Our purpose is to take the glory of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, and live that out in our human relationships, inviting men and women to the joy of worshiping God alone. Your soul will be restless until it finds its rest in God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If your soul is restless today, I urge you to run to Jesus Christ, to bow at His feet and cry out for mercy and grace. Confess that you are a sinner in need of His grace. And simply pray, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Our souls are restless until they find their rest in God through Jesus Christ. If you want to know more about that, I encourage you to see me after the service. See one of our session members after the service. See any of our folks after the service, that we might have the joy of unfolding to you more fully the good news of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The image of God, so marred by sin that it is hardly recognizable, finds its repair in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. To God alone be the glory. Amen and amen.